In the name of Jesus. Well, this time of the year is full of traditions. Some of you light Advent wreaths home, as we just did here this morning. Some of you prepare to go caroling, maybe to some neighbors or to a nursing home. Hope all of you are enjoying the daily emails that are being sent to you Monday through Friday. Thanks to all of our folks who took a turn in writing their reflections for you. Some of you enjoy opening each night a window from Advent calendar. Here is the calendar that was given to me as I left Germany. Here is the Advent calendar that Miss Ellen, our Director of Children and Family, has given to all the Christ Our Shepherd kids. And you know how this goes. You have to find the day of the month, and then you open a door, or open a window, and on one side of the flat there's a little scripture verse, but then there's also a symbol, a picture of the season. Opening those windows is surprising. Before getting to our gospel today, let me share with you what one of you sent me, some humorous signs found in windows of shops around town. Okay, so from the window of a shoe repairman, "We will heal you and we will save your souls." In the window of a delivery truck for curtains and blinds, "Blind man driving." That's good. In the window of a podiatrist's office, you remember what that is, right? "Time wounds all heals." Okay, you're awake this morning. In the window of an optometrist's office, "If you don't see what you're looking for, you've come to the right place." Window of a muffler shop, "No appointment necessary. We heard you coming." Window of a veterinarian waiting room, "Be back in 5 minutes. Sit. Stay." Window at the electric company, "We would be delighted if you send in your payment on time. However, if you don't, you will be delighted." Martin Luther once said, "The gospel must be proclaimed with humor." Notice he never said quality humor, so hopefully those qualify. Well, let me ask you this. What if you opened a window on one of those Advent calendars and you just saw a dark screen? Just darkness. Would that make sense to you? Let me ask you another question. In which context do you need this flashlight? When the sun is out or when it's dark? When do you appreciate a new source of light? When it feels like noon in your life, or when you say, "It's closer to midnight." In our gospel today, John the Baptist is at the river baptizing. And all kinds of people are showing up. As the word gets out, we're told that even the scribes, Sadducees, Pharisees appear to check things out. And then John the Baptist says something that would not help him win a congregational hospitality award. Less of a greeting, more of an accusation to the Pharisees who are showing up. He says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.'" My take on this is that John the Baptist is pointing out a little difference in a level of authenticity. First, Scripture tells us in verse 6 that the general people are coming out confessing their sins. They know their world is sinful. They know they themselves are sinful. So when they hear that a light might be coming to help them with their darkness, they say gratefully, "Sign us up. Come, light." In contrast to this approach of the people, apparently John the Baptist sort of sniffs out a level of inauthenticity of the religious leaders. He challenges them, bear some fruit worthy of what you're saying you're doing, of this repentance. Show something, say something, bear some type of fruit to demonstrate you actually think you need the light for which we are preparing. In other words, John calls them out as Advent frauds. He charges them continually claiming, "Remember, we have Abraham as our ancestor, so we're good to go. We're not really looking forward to the light you're excited about because we're already in the light." In our lives, darkness really isn't that much of a problem. So why waste time preparing for a light? But okay, just to get along, we'll go through all the motions. We'll show up for this baptism thing. It's sort of popular right now. Da, 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 da. Again, who appreciates a light? Someone who says, "It's dark out here sometimes, and it's pretty dark in here sometimes." Or a person who says, "I think I can see things pretty well all on my own." Sometimes it is hard to accept reality, isn't it? A few weeks ago, I went to the doctor to get my annual physical, and they did the blood work as part of that. And about a week ago, I got the email saying, your labs are in. Just click here, and you can sort of see the results. And do you know, I still have not logged into that report to take a look. The last couple of years, I've been on the high side of cholesterol, and I'm just figuring that this is the year. It's going to say, "Hey, I'm going to have to go get some medication for that." I guess I want to avoid reality for just a little bit. Any of you like that? Your health plan covers a free trip to the dentist, but you don't go because you don't want to admit that you might have a cavity. The check engine light comes on the dashboard, but you just sort of hope, that's a malfunction. So you just keep on driving a few extra miles. Sometimes we almost insist on avoiding or denying the truth about our lives. One aspect of acknowledging the truth, and there are many, was explored this past Monday evening at our Blue Christmas service with our lovely flute choir. And I appreciated how Pastor Miriam and team explored one key point, I think being made by John the Baptist today. For our spiritual health, it's important we don't ignore, but acknowledge the darkness that can both blind, but also bind us at times. And she cited some examples of where people have sort of leaned into that and embraced it well. When people, maybe we do this a little bit still today, but when people wore black for a whole season after a loved one died. She told the story of a family who each and every month upon the anniversary of their father's death put something in the front yard to acknowledge publicly their brokenness, the grief that they were experiencing, the reality that not all was hunky-dory in their lives. But isn't acknowledging darkness so challenging when living in a culture prioritizing happiness. Working Hard at Being Happy is the title of a magazine essay that just came across my desk this week. And here's the subtitle: The Cycle of Trying to Maximize Our Experience to Reach Peak Happiness is a Formula for Endless Disappointment. We'd be better off accepting that life involves sadness and darkness too. This is a secular magazine. Compared to other countries, they go on, the article suggests that Americans might have an especially tough time in a context that favors putting forth the happiest face possible. Quote, denying and masking negative feelings because they are socially and culturally unacceptable is the norm. But all of this happy pretending catches up. A person living in a Western culture is about 4 to 10 times more likely to develop clinical depression or anxiety than a person in an Eastern culture. In truth, the younger generations, those most likely to ascribe to the idea of peak happiness as displayed in constantly smiling pictures on Facebook or Snapchat, have perhaps the most difficulty, with 22% of millennials saying they have no friends. But here's the radical thing about you. You Christians, you acknowledge not only the sadness, but the sin of your lives. And the fact that you would like and you need some help. You respond to God's call of authenticity. My goodness, at the beginning of your services, most weeks, you do something that would freak out the sensibilities of a website designer trying to cast an image or a social media coach. You insist on admitting out loud in a section of your service known as confession and forgiveness that there are some things you did that damaged other people and even damaged the world. For instance, you said things with a sharp tongue that cut the heart of your loved ones and so on. And furthermore, in varying words each week, you admit that you ignored God's direction for your life and you went rogue. Yet once again, you Christians claim what it says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. I remember as a little kid being on vacation, we stopped at a hotel room. I think we were traveling, so it's a different hotel for a series of nights. So a different floor arrangement completely. And Mom must have pulled all the drapes completely tight, because when I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, there was not one ray of light. Utter darkness. And I remember struggling with my hands, trying to make sense of where in the world I was, stubbing my toes, still sort of stuck in half sleep in this totally unfamiliar room arrangement, trying desperately to find any type of light switch to make my way to the bathroom. Total darkness. I was miserable. When all I had to do was say out loud, "Dad, can you turn on the light for me?" John the Baptist uses some strong language today. He's worried that the scribes and Pharisees, and who knows, maybe you, maybe me, will miss the true gift coming afresh this season. Yes, the Pharisees can come to the river. And yes, we can put up our Advent wreaths and light them. But if we delude ourselves into thinking we really don't need repentance, then you never really turn around to see the new way possible. If you don't listen to the doctor, it's hard to benefit from the medicine that is never accepted. If you don't believe your low battery signal on your phone, there's not too much new power surging since you never plugged in the charger. If you think you don't need saving, it's hard to prepare for someone who comes as Savior. If you don't think you're a sheep who could benefit from guidance, you're not really excited about a shepherd. If you think your life and heart is already in good shape when it comes to conflict, you might pass on the one who comes as Prince of Peace. If someone thinks they've got darkness management all figured out on their own, it's hard to get excited about the promise of light. An Advent calendar with a window that shows just darkness? Yep, we get that. So come, holy light of the world, come, dispel our darkness and shine. In the name of the light that is indeed coming, Jesus Emmanuel. Amen.